Good morning. It's great to have you here. Welcome. This is an extract from a pastor who's been pastoring for 30 years. And he says, I don't know how many times I've had somebody come in to see me in my office and say that my life is being ruined by my ex-wife and what she's doing to me. I'm so in despair. I'm so depressed. I'm so angry. And I say to him, well, I know somebody else who has an ex-wife who is just as hostile and just as angry and has been just as vengeful as your ex-wife. He's not doing so badly. He's forgiven her. In other words, what's making you miserable, my friend, is not what she's doing to you, but what's making you miserable is your response to what she's doing to you. We had a staff lunch this week, awesome time, celebrating Adrian, our friend from Stellenbosch coming up here, and we always order enough food for everybody, but the guys took so much Christian staff lunch that four guys didn't get any. And then I realized we're just a bunch of sinners walking with sinners, and as long as my plate is full, I don't give a hoot about the people behind me. It's an incredible thing, eh? I flew out yesterday to watch my son playing rugby. I saw a family at an escalator for the first time. And the kids were just absolutely terrified. Just like, just get out of the way. I want to get to my aeroplane. We are so selfish. We are so self-consumed. The psychologists call it sickness. The Bible calls it sin. And we somehow dress it up and think, well, if I get counseled by this thing, you can't manage sin. You have to deal with it. You have to allow Jesus to get to the root of it and eradicate it outside of your life. Let's talk about Stellenbosch. Because race is on the cards now, gender's on the cards now. We've never had such a sophisticated society ever. Scientifically, we are more advanced than we've ever been. Systematically, we've got the best programs that operate in the world. And yet we've got boys urinating on other boys of other races' computers. One of the most progressive schools in this whole nation is a school called Michael House. They are free for all. They are multiracial. They are multicultural. They are at the forefront of progression in this nation. And yet they play hockey. And one white boy calls a black boy by a K word. And the whole game gets canceled. You think, it doesn't matter how many courses you go to. It doesn't matter how many educational processes you go to. Unless you can get into the sinful heart of man, we will never stop the rampage that we are seeing in our world today. We'll never stop it. You can have gender-based violence until the cows come home, friends. It happens in Hollywood. Ask Johnny Depp. We have got they have got hundreds of millions of dollars in their bank account. The solution is not money. The solution is not education. The solution is not progression. The solution is Christ. And unless we understand that, then what we're reading is a waste of time. We will continue to hold prejudiced positions inside of our heart unless we understand that you and I are the sons of God and we operate at a level above our gender and our race. And only then will we start to treat people properly. But first and foremost, you need to understand, friends, that when we have a Christian lunch, you should be able to look at the plates of food and you think there are 25 people here. If I take my portion, there'll be enough for everybody. But four people didn't get, and those who ate didn't even have a clue that people didn't eat. And I looked at that, I said, I'm a sinner living amongst sinners, and we need the Spirit of God to fill us up so we can start to build a society that looks different to the world. Otherwise, every rate inside here is no different to any rate outside there. Amen? And I stand on the floor and I tell you, I am a sinner that needs help. The poor ref yesterday, I think, has got my voice in his ears. I think he's woken up with a twitch today. Thinking, I wonder what that guy will be doing this morning. He probably thinks I've got a babala somewhere sitting in Durban. Little does he know that fool is preaching. Okay, have we learned Romans 8? Therefore, now there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. Must I carry on? Got it. Let's read. Therefore. Say therefore. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free. Say, set me free. You will not know what it means to be set free if you don't know that you were in bondage in the first place. If you do not know the seriousness of sin, you will not know the freedom of redemption. And remember we said this, there is no difference. There is no difference. I remember money was going missing from my wallet. So I thought, Melanie, you are so beautiful. Mitchell, I thought, I wonder who's stealing my money. So what I did is I took my cell phone, I put it on airplane mode, I stuck it in the TV remotes, and I caught my maid stealing my money. Every day, just $100, $200. Just disappearing. And I thought, I'm telling you what I'm going to do. I'm going to put this on YouTube. Yeah. I caught her. And then I felt God say, but what happens if I put the videos I've got of you on YouTube? I thought, hey, Lord, I wouldn't like that. He said, well, don't expose her. You see, to understand no condemnation, to accept no condemnation, to receive no condemnation for your own sin, you have to give no condemnation to those who sin against you. And if you don't, then you have elevated yourself above them. It doesn't matter what the sin is. Because the Bible's clear, there is no difference. Gluttony, gossip, racism, there is no difference. We all fall short of the glory of God. And if you receive no condemnation, then you must give no condemnation. Set me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did. Say, God did. Close your eyes and say, God did. God did. I don't have to did it. God did it. Say, God did. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful man to be a, say it? To be a sin offering. Say, sin offering. So every one of us are sitting here today completely free of any form of condemnation because Jesus Christ was a sin offering for me. It's a sin offering for me. The theology of that is found in Isaiah 53, if you could put it up, please. This is the theology in Isaiah 53. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, like one from whom men hide their faces. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely, say surely. Surely he took up our infirmities, he carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed. Amen. Say that with me. Keep it up. Say, by his wounds, we are healed. Let's say it again. By his wounds, we are healed. Let's say it one more time. By his wounds, we are healed. Keep the scripture up there. And let me ask you this question. Then why are you so easily wounded by others? Why are you so easily wounded by others? Why do you not let others off the hook when Jesus let you off the hook by his wounds? Why do you carry wounds around with you for such a long time? It can only be because you don't understand the seriousness of your own sin, or you selfishly will not let others off the hook like Jesus let you off the hook. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and afflicted. Say oppressed. This is the capital of oppression. Pretoria is where apartheid was found. This is a capital of oppression. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Black boy gets white boy urinating on his computer and films it and puts it on YouTube. I can only imagine unsaved black boy. What happens if he's a saved black boy? What happens if the wounds of Christ have healed his sin and his oppression? What happens if the wounds of Christ have hidden his own sinfulness? What happens, and instead of putting that YouTube clip on the internet, he went to that guy and say, "I forgive you." You say to me, "But what that man did is wrong." Yes, it is wrong. There needs to be justice. Yes, there does need to be justice. That guy should be expelled from university. Yes, he should be expelled from university. But we still don't get to the root of the problem. We still don't access the power that Jesus accessed to actually break the forces that dictate our society. You say, "But we've got to stand for justice." That boy who called another boy a name, it is completely wrong. And there will be processes of discipline taking place, and we will constantly try and fight those things in the court. We'll fight them in disciplinary hearings. We'll fight them in our own minds, but we will never access the power of God unless, like Jesus, we put the pain into his wound. You can come and argue with me afterwards. You can come and fight with me afterwards. But unless the church starts to accept that I myself am a sinner, and that when I take the condemnation-free life that Christ has bought for me, that everybody in my sphere of influence will be given the same treatment. I will not hold grudges against you. I will not hold your behavior against you. I will keep giving you peace. I will keep giving you love. And like a lamb led to the slaughter, I remain silent. But we've got these voices rising up, fighting against governments. The power is not in the government. The power is in the heavenlies. The fight is taking place in the heavenlies. The soul of this nation is being fought for on the front of race and gender, friends. And I want to tell you, the power and the access to it is through the cross. Amen. Yes. Beautiful. And as a sheep before her shearers is silent, not a ram, eh? I'm not going to butt my way out of this thing. As a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. You say, "I can't keep quiet right now in South Africa." No, friends, if you understand you're a sinner, and that for Jesus to set you free, he remained quiet in the midst of unbelievably unjust behavior against him, you will start to tap into a power that will set other people free in your life. So how does this work? Well, let's go to 1 Peter. That's the theology. I'll show you the expression of it. "For it is commendable if a man bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because he is conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and you endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called." Say "to this." You were called. because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. He committed no sin, and no deceit was found in his mouth. When they hurled their insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. Our legal system is under unbelievable pressure right now. We have got the Western Province Chief of Justice, John Hlophe, who's been fighting a 12-year legal case because the legal system is crumbling. Say, well, let's fight them in the courts. Let's take them. AfriForum rises up so Afrikaners can have a voice. And we've got all these things. Friends, we can entrust ourselves to him who judges justly. It's offensive, eh? It's prickly. It's tough. But if we can't work it out in this room, we'll never work it out there. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. This isn't Peter. By his wounds you have been. You know what he's talking about here? Just go back one step. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about people with bad bosses. Is your boss a Charlie? Then the same forgiveness that you got to give to him. And by his wounds you have been healed. Next verse. You were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. Ladies, read this. Wives, in the same way. Say that with me. In exactly the same way as what? Shut up. Keep quiet. Stop arguing. Oh, you're back. And husbands, if you think that the next verse says this. Next verse. Say, husbands. In the same way. Oh, you're back. You understand it? You turn off. When he was threatened, he remained silent. When he was condemned, he kept quiet. You think that is completely wrong, or there is a power that is different to the power that you and I are operating with now. Think, how does a student who urinates on another student, and then exactly the same week there was a rape that took place. And you think, how did the news get it right to highlight this one and not this one? When did urination take precedent over rape? When did that happen? But it doesn't really matter. Sin is sin. And you and I are sinners. And we can't put it in, but we're fighting because the media, there are three things, friends. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And they all lie to us. What society says is right. What the flesh wants to do, which is greedy and take more food. We on people so that you can degrade them. That is our flesh that is inside of it, is burning inside of us. The greed. The founders of the welfare society in England said, we have left the church for it is a weak and pessimistic society. And after 35 years, they said, we will put our faith in the inherent goodness of humankind. And at the end of their lives, they said, we were troubled because we found out there is no inherent goodness in humankind. Because our hearts are evil and deceptive. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Jesus Christ, the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. The law which was weakened by the sinful nature. God did by sending his own Son as a sin offering. Say sin offering. Unless you can apply no condemnation to yourself, unless you can understand the judgment that should be upon your life, you will not be able to give freedom to the people around you. Let people off the hook. Let them off the hook. Black, white, young, old, rich, poor, let them off the hook. And let's build a society where people's worth comes from Christ, not their color or their wealth. Romans chapter 8, the Spirit reminds us about our sin, which makes us humble, but it also reminds us about our sonship, which makes us bold. Let's keep reading. Nice to see you. I'm ready for a good argument afterwards. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their mindset. Say mindset. That's the problem. We have a mindset on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mindset. Say mindset. On what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it's not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Say sons of God. Not daughters of God, sons of God. It's not gender insensitive, it's culturally radical. Only sons got inheritances. In this time, God says, every daughter in my kingdom is like a firstborn son. You are sons of God. For you did not receive. Say you did not receive. You did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship or adoption. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. The next verse says, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. Sometimes I ask myself this question, is it worth it? Is it worth it? I mean, this Christian life, is it worth it? Why don't we just eat, drink, and be merry, and tomorrow we die? Is it really worth it? Trying to obey God and his law and the commandments and the Spirit and death and life. And is it worth it? Why don't you just go and sleep around and get drunk and just like have a jaw? And then the Spirit comes and makes my heart alive. And it starts to remind me of how God designed me and why he gave the law. And when I follow the law and I follow generosity, I start to reap. And when I follow holiness, I start to experience intimacy. And Paul says, hey guys, listen, it's not easy, but it is worth it. It is worth it. Amen. He says that you've got to get your mindset changed. You've got to start thinking properly. You've got to actually just sometimes sit down and you've got to start thinking, what is he talking about? He's talking about being a son. But there's so many bad dads, God. And apartheid took fathers away from homes, that God. And the people, Lord God, and what does sonship mean? What does it mean to be your son? You've got to think about that. Let's think about what the world, where the battle lines get fought, because it's the world and the flesh and the devil. The battle lines get fought on a number of fronts: alcohol, sex, power. Let's think about them. Alcohol, Lord, what you've got the commandments. It says don't get drunk. What does that mean, God? Let's think about alcohol, Lord God. What effect does alcohol have on my family, Lord God? You made everything. You made alcohol. You made people take wheat and turn it into whiskey, Lord God. But why? so they could enjoy themselves, so they could have a good time, so they could socialize, Lord God. Let me think about it. But Lord, there's hostility, there's death, there's the ways of the world, there's a sinful nature, there's the devil, there's the world, there's a group of friends, Lord God, who are influencing me. What role must alcohol play in my life, God? What role does it play in my life, Lord? I'll tell you what role it played in his life. He got drunk and he beat his wife. I'm not exposing him. He got up here one day and he said, wife beat, and he turned it around and he said, Son of God. And he had to sit and think, and he said, Jesus Christ died for me. I am guilty of being an alcoholic. And so, Lord Jesus, I need your spirit to come and touch me, to quicken my heart, to lift my heart, to turn me around, to give me the power to give up alcohol, Lord God, and then actually to start loving my wife. And on his wife's birthday, he posted a picture. He said, look at this beautiful woman. He said, don't expose the man. Friends, what are you battling with? What are we battling with? I walked out of here the other Sunday. I walked out here on a Sunday night. I saw a couple, and I just felt God say they're sleeping together. And I went and I spoke to someone in the car park, and they were 30 minutes later, I just drove up my car. They were standing there. I said, hi, how are you doing? My name's Rory. I said, how are you, Rory? I said, how are things going with your relationship? They said, we're battling. I said, you're sleeping together, hey? He said, how do you know? I think, well, flip, because I do this for a living. You know what they expected? You know what they expected? They expected condemnation. You know what they got? They got a pastor who also used to date his wife and also battled with sexuality and also wanted to sleep with her when she was my girlfriend. And I just spoke and I said, you know what? Let's ask God to clear it now. And you might fall on Thursday night. You might sleep together again. And then when you sin, then grace will increase. And you'll come to church on Sunday and you'll be free and you'll sit under my preaching. And then you might fall again on Tuesday, and when sin, grace will increase. And eventually you're going to get to a place where you say, but Lord, can your spirit actually help me? Can you help me think about this? Sex is not just the immediate gratification of some lustful desire in an immediate space. It's spiritual, it's emotional, it's physical, it's practical, it's intimate. Why did God design it? How did he design it? What did he design it for? Let's think about these things. Because you've got 16 and 17-year-olds jumping into bed and they've got no implication of what it's having on their soul or their spirit or their family line or the future of their line, because they can have a child that's born when they're 16 and that child has got known. So you've got to sit and think, God, what did you design it for? How were children meant to be born? What situations were they meant to be born into? So money, let's think about money. Lord, but what's my mindset around money? What am I meant to do with it? How did you design it, God? Am I meant to just keep accumulating and accumulating and accumulating it? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life, say life, set me free from the law of sin and death. With most thinking, friends, whether it's money or whether it's sex or whether it's alcohol, the end of the road is death. The end of the road is some dead spirit, dead body, dead emotions. They come and sit in my office. Young girls slept around, looking for some form of acceptance. Sit in my office. Their spirits are dead. And I've got to say, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You can live again, but rethink your sexuality. Rethink your alcohol intake. I'm telling you right now, there's some divorces that are taking place in this church that are directly related to alcohol. Sure. Are you anti-drinking, Rory? No, I'm not. I believe God designed alcohol. Can we drink, Rory? Absolutely. Does it have an adverse effect on some families? Right now, you know that. So sometimes you've got to stop and think. And just when it gets too morbid and you think, oh, my hat. He says, you did not receive the spirit of fear. Yeah. You receive the spirit of sonship. Amen. Say sonship. I receive the spirit of adoption. Say adoption. You see, friends, for most people, adoption is a process. You start and you go through the courts for 2 years. He didn't say you received the process of adoption. He didn't say you joined the church and are going to go through a 2 or 3 year process. He sees that you received the spirit of adoption. When the judge smacks it down and says, your name's changed, that's what you received. Your name changes. Your name changes. Your nature changes. Your boss changes. Everything changes. You receive the spirit of adoption. I received a black box from my dad when he died. And you know this, he went bankrupt when I was in school. In Standard 8, he went bankrupt. And I saw him walk out the headmaster's office. He said, I've gone bankrupt, son, but I've made a plan for you to finish school. I received this black box. And when I opened his black box, there were 36 checks. 36 salary checks of my father that he couldn't even bank because his business couldn't afford to pay him. And those 36 checks sit in my top drawer of my desk at home. And I look at those checks and I think, I received the spirit of adoption. I'm a dyer. I had tea with my mum yesterday. I arrived at her house. She's 83 years old. I just said, Mum, I don't know if I'll have time to pop in, but I think I might. And when I got there, the muffins were fresh. The coffee was fresh. And I sat on her veranda and I realized I have received the spirit. I am living in the fullness of my mother's praise. If you're watching this today, Mum, thank you. Thank you. My Father in heaven doesn't have to keep his check stored up. There's enough in his account. The check won't bounce. I've received the spirit of adoption. I've received the spirit of sonship. And it says, by him we cry. Say cry. Cry. Say cry. Cry. That word is cry. Abba Father. Say Abba Father. Abba. Cry Abba Father. Cry. No. Cry Abba Father. No. Cry, full stop. Cry, exclaim, Abba Father. Shout it from the bottom of your heart.
Abba Father.
1, 2, 3.
Abba Father.
Pathetic. Let's do it again. 1, 2, 3. Abba Father. That's what it means. With all this going on, Stellenbosch University, Michael House, oppression, difficulties, alcohol, sex, all those things, everything that is going on around us, God releases something inside of me that shouts, Abba Father! Come on. And friends, I'm sorry to repeat this, but in a hospital bed with a very sick father, he asked me, how is your son, Thomas? I said, Thomas is amazing, Dad. And yesterday, sitting at the reunion of the biggest school in Pietermaritzburg that has got a history of producing Springbok rugby players and World Cup rugby winners, with 15,000 people sitting there, I'm sitting on the side of the field and I'm watching my son lead his team as the captain of a school that I cannot afford to pay the fees for. But my father on earth wrote in his will that his trust must provide for my son to go to that school. And when I saw him running onto the field, I just wanted to shout, Abba Father, Abba Father. If my father on earth, though he is evil, knows how to give good gifts to his children, how much more? Imagine, friends, if that young black boy who got completely oppressed and abused and completely taken advantage of, imagine if he knew the forgiveness of Christ and he stood up and instead of posting on YouTube, he just cried out from the bottom of his heart, Abba Father! And the power of that would break something that is sitting over Stellenbosch. That is sitting over every conversation that we participate in. It would break the power of that thing. You say, but it's not fair. No, it's not fair. And what they did to Jesus was not fair. And your healing is in his stripes. Where they beat his body, I take my sinfulness and my secret life and my sexual fantasies and I stick them into his wounds. And he says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Jesus Christ. Amen. And the Spirit with a capital S, the Spirit testifies with my spirit that I'm the Son of God. Amen. Remember, I don't know what it's like. To be a black lady sitting amongst a group of Afrikaans people. But you've got to be brave every Sunday to do that. But I tell you, there's something far greater than being here. The Spirit with a capital S speaks to your spirit with a small s and says, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. One of my son's teammates is a black guy. His mum is a psychologist. She was in the army, and she was in the army, a military base here in Waterkloof. And her first client was an Afrikaans colonel. And he said, "Hoekom het hulle 'n swart vrou gestuur om my reg te maak?" And she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed, and she prayed. And after 6 months, that man wrote to her letter and said, "God sent you to heal my heart. God sent you to heal my heart." I am an heir of God and a co-heir with Christ. If I share any suffering, say sufferings. I know there's sufferings going on. Some of you are suffering because you're women. Some because you're unqualified, some because you're black. But if we share in his sufferings, we will also share in his glory. And Paul says, and that makes it worth it. It's hard. It's tough. It's not fair. Our systems are wrong. But we entrust ourselves to him who judges justly. And if you can apply it to your own life, then you can apply it to others. In Jesus' name, amen.